You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
This is Ashley Winch in Great Falls, Montana.
And I'm Kat Gunther from White Lake, Michigan, and you're listening to the Quarter Horse Podcast for July 21st. Good morning, Horse World.
Kat, it's so good to see you.
So good to see you too, Ashley. What are we talking about today?
Today, we're getting a little crazy, and we're going to pivot away from quarter horses, but just a little. Because we're going to talk about quarter horse crosses.
Heck yeah. Okay, let's get wild.
So growing up, we had a quarter horse paint thoroughbred cross. And I don't know exactly what percentage of each of those things made her up. But her name was Pepper. And she was one of those mares that keeps everybody in line. And so whenever we'd get a new boarder or, you know, a new horse on the property, you put them out with Pepper for like 10 minutes and they understand very quickly who's in charge, how things work. She Yep. was the alpha mare and she was so fantastic. She was dark bay and white Tobiano. I never know how to say that.
I don't either.
But this isn't Tobiano. The paint show. So you guys let us know in the comments. I don't know. And then, of course, I had tons of friends in Florida who all had appendixes. Mm-hmm. What is your experience with quarter horse crosses, Kat?
Yeah, so I had an appendix quarter horse growing up named Murphy, and he was Murphy. 72.
Holy crap!
Yeah, he was all legs, and I was, probably 13 when we got him. So I was this little kid, just like, I got a big horse. I was the size of his leg. He was just all legs.
That is crazy!
Yeah, I remember the first time I fell off Murphy, and I felt like I fell off the Empire State Building.
You were airborne for a long time. You're just counting down until you splat.
Yep. But I love appendixes. I think they're so cool because, you know, they have that temperament of a quarter horse most of the time, but then that athletic ability of a thoroughbred.
Yeah.
So it was a cool experience.
Agreed. I've only met, I would say, two appendixes in my life that had that bit reversed, and they had the brain of the thoroughbred, so high wired and hot, and the body of the quarter horse. Yeah, they weren't mine, and I'm not going to drop names. They were loved for their own special ways, but you can't control how that mix goes. That's the danger of breeding.
Yeah, at least they're kind of bulky then. So if they're crazy, you can just kind of fall a short way and it's not 17 to
not 20 feet to the ground.
Oh, yeah. I remember being a little kid and thinking that it was just the biggest fall of my life.
I can't imagine. And I also can't imagine, like, now that I'm a mom, like, okay, 10-year-old little Kat, I'm going to put you up on this elephant.
Yep.
Off you go.
Oh, yeah, and something even crazier. I'm outing my mom here, but she used to let me and my sister stand on Murphy. Like, we would be in the rafters at that point. I don't know why. That was back during my Liberty phase when I thought it was really cool to stand on your horse.
You mean your influencer phase?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Hey, I got sent a bead necklace once, okay?
She made it big. She made it big way before influencers were a thing.
Oh, yeah. I still have that necklace. It's like a joke in the family that I was sent PR at like 11, 12 years old.
And here you are now. Look at that trajectory. We love to see it. Well, I was doing a little bit of research in preparation for today's show, and I came across a couple of really interesting statistics, one being that 42% is the estimated percentage of the entire U.S. horse population that has quarter horse breeding or is heavily influenced by quarter horses. So by far, quarter horse crosses are the most popular breed in America.
Which, I'm not surprised at that at all.
Right. We knew that quarter horses are the most popular breed in the world, but then when we drill down to include quarter horse crosses, they're everywhere. And I think you made a really good point earlier, Kat. You know, it has to a lot to do with their brains. They're just mm-hmm. so good to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing I found, as we've discussed, you know, quarter horse crosses, it's nothing new. This has been happening for a long time. And it's actually how the breed stays so dynamic. The AQHA Appendix Registry has been around since 1949, which was pretty crazy to me because I remember in the 90s, I didn't really know much about appendixes. It really wasn't until the late 90s, early 2000s. And that's just me and my bubble in Florida, you know. Mm-hmm. But then when they became popular, everybody had appendixes. And not yeah. only on the quarter horse circuit, you know, I started to really see them become more popular in the local shows, on the hit circuits. Mm-hmm. It just was like, boom. But clearly I'm wrong because they've been around since the 50s. So
that's crazy. I see why, though. I mean, they excel in all the English events, right?
Exactly.
The equitation, the under saddle. I haven't seen, this is just my personal, like, I haven't seen, but an appendix do the horsemanship very well. They're usually so big that they're trying to spin and they're huge. But in the English events, they just excel.
Yes, totally, because they're doing what they're built to do, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. And this is a really fun one for me. Talk about full circle and riding as a kid. If you would have told me back in middle school that my childhood riding buddy and I would be sitting down decades later to record a podcast about horses, I would have totally believed you. Because horses are all we ever talked about. I am so excited to welcome Justine Griffin to the show today. We actually grew up riding together. We met in sixth grade and trained together, competed together. And since then, Justine has gone on to become an award-winning journalist who also is a host of a show, a little show you might know here on HRN called Heels Down Happy Hour. She's a native Floridian and a lifelong lover of thoroughbreds and a known connoisseur of Whippet puppies and cheese. Today, she's stepping into the studio to talk about something totally different and a really unique horse that's in our training program right now. He's a ranch-started Connemara quarter horse. Justine, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to catch up with you today.
Same. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I had mentioned in your intro that if you had asked us in middle school if we'd be doing this together, you know, 20 years later, 30, however old we are, I would have been like, heck yes, we would have said we would do this.
100%.
I can't believe, like, full circle, we're still the same crazy horse girls.
I know. Like, if middle school versions of us could see us now, they'd be very proud.
They'd be so proud. They'd be like, wow, we really did it. We really stuck with it.
I know. It's crazy.
So I know way back in the day, you had a lot of experience with thoroughbreds and you still do. You have Mikey, who's a handsome, handsome chestnut thoroughbred.
I do. Yep.
And here you are on the Quarter Horse podcast because you jumped into the quarter horse pool with a really cool cross. Tell me about Cash and how did you get to meet him and get involved with him?
Sure. Yeah, it's a great story, actually. And I feel very lucky to have met Cash. So Cash is a 4-year-old quarter horse Connemara cross. And he is cute as a button. He's a beautiful dapple gray. And he is he belongs to a friend of mine who lives close to Ocala. And her business is she's a colt starter. So she has a reputation and a great little business up there where she helps people get their young horses started. And naturally, because she's a Western rider, the vast majority of those horses are quarter horses.
Right.
So she starts a lot of horses for reining, for ranch work, Western pleasure, you know, just pleasure horses for folks that, you know, are hobbyists, but also for folks who want a horse show in the Western world.
Mm-hmm.
She has a great eye for finding horses. And I met her. Her name's Leona. And she, I met her through a hunter jumper trainer who's a good friend of mine here in the Tampa area. When I was preparing for the 2023 Thoroughbred Makeover, I was riding with this trainer, Joyce, who basically my Thoroughbred Makeover horse was living out in a pasture that I rented across the street from my dressage barn. Because we didn't have a stall for him. So I'm like, you get to go live out. And I was looking for an arena with jumps to start him over fences. And that's, and Joyce was down the road and she's like, okay, come on down. So small horse world is, I met Leona through Joyce because, Joyce has bought several horses from her. So a couple of quarter horses, also a thoroughbred, but all started by Leona, and they all have this incredible Western foundation that really honestly just transcends disciplines. They have excellent groundwork. They're so easy on the trailer. They were exposed to so much in their young horse life as like 2 to 3 year olds that now they're super solid. And Joyce has developed those horses to be hunter jumpers in her program. And it's just really cool to see that sort of like how that translates across disciplines. Just good horse training is good horse training. So that's how I met Leona. And actually, when Mikey had a soft tissue injury that he was, he was rehabbing that for almost longer than 2 years.
Yeah, that was tough to watch, friend. Oh, my heart just broke for you.
Aw, thank you. But we got through it. But Leona is one of the first people I called as I was bringing Mikey back to work because after all that time off, he was straight up feral. And like totally ornery, big, angry, fat red horse. Did not want to and we had to be so careful with him with that injury, right? Mm-hmm. So the rehab work was very challenging. So I reached out to Leona to be like, what can I do safely, like when he wants to blow up and all 4 feet come off the ground to protect that leg that we're rehabbing, but also try to, you know, ride the feral out of him eventually.
Yeah.
So Leona helped me as best she could at that time. It was challenging. Mikey is enormous. He's 17 plus hands. And because of his injury, we can't spin him in circles. It was really challenging, but I really forced her to get creative. So that's how I first met her. But fast forward a couple years now, Cash came into Leona's life through a client as a two-year-old to be broke, to like start his riding life. And okay. So she had him for several months, like putting that foundation on him. And it's funny, Leona talks to me about him now. When she met him as a two-year-old, she was like, oh, he was so forward. Like he would just like rip around the round pen. And you would never guess that if you'd met him today. He's ultimate kick ride. And so she put the foundation on. They started showing him in ranch classes with his owner. But it became clear he was too darn fancy to be a Western ranch horse. He just moved so beautifully from that Connemara breeding in him. And so her and Joyce got together and they're like, oh, let's have Justine sit on him. And so they brought him down to Tampa. This was like in March to see what I thought. Like, is it worth like trying to try some dressage with him and some jumping? Is there a market for a horse like him? So I sat on him the first time in March and just knew right away that, wow, this horse was so cool. And there absolutely was a market for him to transition into being a dressage horse. He was just so brave and so game and already had so many cool buttons from the Western training. Yeah. You know, like he could side pass over a pole. He had really great spins. He was such a sensitive to the mouth and to your leg. I was like, oh my gosh, we could train him in no time. So we made an arrangement for Leona to bring Cash to Joyce's farm, which is still down the road from where I used to ride my thoroughbred over to her place. And so it's just down the road from where I keep Mikey. And he came in May and we started putting him in it like an English riding training. So since then he's, you know, we've kind of introduced like adding the hand contact, which was probably the most, challenging part of taking a Western horse into English, right? Like
totally,
you know, like he's so light in the bridle. I had to teach him like, no, you can feel my hands on
it's
the
okay.
reins. It doesn't mean stop, but he was such a good dude. Like he's just got a really great, like that quarter horse brain where he's never rattled, never, even when he's confused as a green young horse, he's never rattled. He wants to figure out what it is you're asking. And his gaits are so lovely. He's just a lovely mover. So he's been really fun to bring along. So I've had him all summer and he's doing great. We've taken him out cross country schooling. He went to his first English horse show. We went to a UDJC show here locally.
Yes.
And so he did like a couple of small, like 0.65 meter, jumping classes and a dressage test. And yeah, he's been awesome.
I just love that. And for our quarter horse listeners, Connemaras are pretty well known in the English world. They're great little ponies from Ireland. Yep. I know I see most in the eventing world, and they're just... I think it really is the ideal cross with the quarter horse for exactly what you're saying. You know, they have the brain and the versatility of the quarter horse, and then the Connemara is just like the magic sparkle sprinkle on top.
That is the perfect way to describe it. Yeah, because he's got the great brain, and he's like a great size. Like, I would say a Connemara and the quarter horses run about the same size. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. 15 hands is the sweet spot. They could be pony size, but so Cash is 15'2" and real round. Everything about him is like very round. We barely feed him anything because he's an easy keeper. But yeah, what is interesting about the Connemaras is you're right, Ashley, that I feel like they've become like very trendy and eventers for sure. They're like a great amateur or junior partner. For the lower levels. And then you're starting to see them in dressage too. The dressage, like the amateur dressage ladies like them because they're fancy. They're beautiful movers. They can be pretty scopey. Mm-hmm. And they make really nice crosses. I see plenty of them crossed with thoroughbreds to give them a little bit more blood, make them a little bit more sporty. But I wish I could clone Cash. Like, I would love 5 of him. I would definitely consider crossing him, like doing a quarter horse Connemara cross again.
I know. And Justine, you know, I just moved to Montana and I reached out to Justine to have her on the show. I said, I'm just so glad I live far away because I want Cash. And listeners, this is the best part. I waited till the end because Cash is for sale.
He is. We're trying to find him his perfect home.
So I'm going to drop his ad and a video into the show notes for anybody who is in the market. He is absolutely stunning. What's his personality like, Justine?
Oh, he's just cute as a button. He is, again, very obedient. Like, he has excellent training, but he's so cute. Like, I will go and get him in the field, and he's the type who's happy to come up to you. But like, when you're just hanging out, like at the horse show or hanging out with him in the barn, he wants to be in your pocket. Like, he'll lick your cheek.
Oh,
he'll search your pockets. He, you know, he wants to be rubbed. He loves like all his itchy spots rubbed. But he's really sweet. He's a nice guy.
That is just so wonderful. And he is located in Tampa through the end of the summer. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep.
Cool. One more note, Justine, and I'm going to make a little bit of a, let's say, rule break for you, because we ask, this is the hardest hitting question on HRN, and we ask it here on the Quarter Horse Podcast.
Okay.
So usually I say, tell me like your funniest memory with a quarter horse, but given your background, we're going to open it up. Tell me your favorite funny memory with a horse, whether, you know, it was face planting at a show, or, you know, your pants falling down because they got caught on your horn. Just a funny horse story to end your interview.
Oh my gosh. That's
I know.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'll tell you a good embarrassing one. This is from high school, so you probably might have heard this story. But growing up, I had a paint gelding that was like a warm blood mix. We never really knew his background, but you remember
him.
He was
so handsome. Yes, 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 yes.
Tuffy. And I was taking him to my first ever A-rated horse show with my trainer. And it was at the fairgrounds here in Tampa, the Bob Thomas Equestrian Center. And of course, I'm very nervous, right? I've prepped as much as I can. All my tacks clean. We're there. I'm just so excited. And we're showing in the jumpers this weekend. And I, back in this day and age, when I was a teenager, when I was at a horse show, you didn't want to be around me.
Same.
I was a miserable person.
Yep. Just so a stressed. Monster.
Totally. So mean to my parents.
I know. Me too. What's wrong with bills? Us? I know.
I know. And so here I am, at, you know, a stress ball at my first rated horse show. And I'm, you know, I'm schooling with my trainer. I'm nervous as all hell. And I finally get to go in the ring. You know, they buzz me. It's time to go jump around. We're starting to jump around. And all of a sudden, I can feel my saddle slipping.
Oh, no.
And in all my nerves and being a jerk to everybody around me, I forgot to tighten my girth. And that saddle slipped all the way down the side of my horse's barrel, and I fell in the mud. Oh. It was awful. This is my first class at my first rated horse
show. Oh, my God.
So I had to pick my embarrassed butt up off the ground, get back in the saddle, and ride my next classes just with, you know, wet footing just all down the whole side of my body. Like my helmet, my hair, my whole body. I was filthy, dirty. And that's how I did my first A-rated horse show.
Oh, just a big old slice of humble pie.
Absolutely. I feel like I deserved it, though.
So. You know, yeah, looking back, it was tough being a teenage girl in our time. Okay, guys? It was really hard.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, thanks so much for sharing that story and coming on to just talk about Cash. I can't wait to see what you continue to do with him. And certainly anyone who grabs him is going to be lucky and happy forever, because he really sounds like a horse that can do anything.
Truly, he can. He's so cool. He just wants to be somebody's best bud.
Oh, that's the best kind of horse to have. Well, thanks again, Justine. Have a great day.
Okay, thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Farnam and Endure Gold Killer Fly and Mosquito Control, a new fly spray for horses. Discover fly protection, redefined with Endure Gold. Made to annihilate flies, ticks, and mosquitoes with brand new EPA-approved ingredients never before seen in equine care. Endure Gold is backed by science and built for hard work, delivering fast knockdown and up to 14 days of fly protection. Add Endure Gold to your arsenal and upgrade your fly control rotation. Today's guest is Melissa Baus, co-owner of Baus Horses in Southern Minnesota. Beyond training horses with her husband, Mark, she's also an accomplished equine photographer and graphic designer. Today, we're diving into one of her favorite topics, quarter horse crosses. Welcome, Melissa. Melissa, we are so excited to have you here today. I guess to start off, I'd love to hear what your experience is with crossbreeding quarter horses.
Yeah. So honestly, I am married to a horse trainer, and he for 17 years worked for a quarter horse and paint breeder. So we did when he first started there was like 400 horses. So we dealt with large herds. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so then he did that for 17 years and then took a break. And I did. And during that time, I picked up photography and marketing, and because all those horses, a lot of them needed to be sold. So that was kind of my job. So I learned that along the way. And then it was after COVID, he had taken a break from training, and I was still doing my marketing stuff with the horses for other people. And I started to do more like half drafts. Mm-hmm. And there was one that my husband came with me on, and it was a friend of ours that they had it for a customer. And we walked around the corner and we were like, what is this thing? He is so beautiful. Like, we have to have him. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of like, and then just seeing too, like with my customers and just seeing like, just being around the horses. Cause honestly, I would have probably wrote them off as too big. Mm-hmm. What do you do with them? They're a hassle, because, you know, we were used to the stock breeds. Mm-hmm. And then just having that exposure to them through my work just kind of got like the ball kind of rolling in our heads, like, hey, these animals are phenomenal. Like, just in their mind, in their soundness, there's just so many positive things.
Oh, for sure. It seems like you get the best of both worlds in a way. Like, I come from a quarter horse background, and I have a Gypsy Vanner now, right? So I have the draft experience and the quarter horse experience, but like merging them together, it just seems like it'd be perfect.
Yeah, and you know, too, so we came from the Western pleasure world, and so movement is huge for us. So like, mm-hmm. you know, like it's really hard when you do Western pleasure to move to a horse that maybe isn't coordinated or handles well. But I think one of the biggest things that surprised us the most is that, yes, they're big. They ride way smoother than what you think.
Really? I mean, I've never ridden across, I don't think. This is going to be a kind of a weird question. I don't know if this makes sense, but how often do you have a horse where you get like clunky movement versus the smooth, better than you expected type of gait?
Oh, that's a good question. Because maybe this is just because, you know, we have for years dealt with the pleasure horses. And so you can like look in the pasture, watch one lope, and kind of like know what that probably feels like. the draft horses, maybe it's just because I haven't developed that eye yet, but like I kind of have, I mean, you can see the ones that are like cadenced, but to know exactly how smooth they are, you really just have to ride them.
Yeah. So which draft breeds do you see cross best with quarter horses?
Oh, that's another good question. I love the Percheron crosses.
Oh my goodness.
yeah. And I've had a few gypsy crosses that I didn't necessarily know, because I remember back when the gypsies every breed has gone through their different crazes and phases. But when the gypsies were hugely popular, I did not understand why. But then after having a couple crosses, I was like, oh, I get it. They're a great size. They don't feel like what they look necessarily. They are so much smoother.
Mm-hmm. How do you handle the hair?
I would never have a full gypsy just for the hair. A cross, I would do a full gypsy. That's dedication.
Oh, yeah. I've experienced with that. I'm curious, though, what does the hair look like on a gypsy quarter horse cross? Do they still have a lot of it, or is it pretty tame?
It all depends. It all depends. Like there, some you'll get more like feathering, but nothing compared to a full gypsy.
Gotcha. What traits do you think quarter horses pass on the best?
Gosh, I think just bringing down the size of the draft.
Yeah.
Because really, really the draft horse, like as a whole, the draft horses, the half drafts and the crossbreeds, they're just so easy to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know too, like, because we have from our past, a select eye for picking out prospects and dealing with young horses. Like mm-hmm. we, like probably no matter what the breed, we would probably find the good minded ones.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's a huge focus of ours, but yeah, they're just so willing and I think too, for like, if you're a beginner, their reaction time and their speed, like, yes, they're big, but their reactions are a little bit slower. They can be, they I also say, mind you, this is the same kind that buck at the NFR. So it's kind of a catch 22 in a sense.
Yeah. I know.
But there's a lot of bucking horses that eventually, you know, went on to be riding horses.
For sure. And with my draft with my gypsy, I always say he's bomb proof, right? Like I would put anybody on him. I feel like his reaction time is so slow.
Yes. And that's the other thing too, is like when you have a beginner come to the barn, like with our stock horses, it's hard to match sizes. And even like talking with a bunch of like trail outfitters out west and stuff, like that's why they go towards the half drafts and the crossbreds, because you get that substantial size without going too big, but you can fit a variety of riders. Yeah, so just like if we have people come to the barn and they're new to riding or they want to try something, the half drafts just can handle it a little better than the stock breed, because again, they're just like a little slower. They're like, if someone moves in the saddle, it's not going to be as big of a deal. They can handle those shifts a little better than like the stock breeds, I think.
That makes a lot of sense. So they're used on, you know, trail riding and out west and whatnot. Is there a show circuit specifically for quarter horse crosses, or can they show at AQHA shows? I guess I know appendixes are in the mix, but like a draft quarter horse cross, do you see them at quarter horse shows?
No, you won't see them at a quarter horse show, but now some of the local quarter horse shows are adding like all breed classes. And I was gone one weekend, but I let one of my friends that's a trainer, I let her grab one of the horses and take it in one of the all breed classes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome.
And we do have a show this next weekend that I don't know if we'll end up taking one. We had some schedule changes, but yeah, we would toss one in all breed class.
Nice. Are there any associations for the crosses, or are they, you just mostly do all breed or like open shows?
No, so there is a lady, I have not registered one with the association, but there is a lady out there keeping track and getting these registered, because I do think it would be phenomenal to have a bigger association with this and to like track the studs, because there are so many great studs there around the area. And there's one in Wyoming too, like, there's some phenomenal studs that I wish people could know more about.
Gotcha. So if somebody came to you and said, should I get a quarter horse? Should I get a draft or should I get a cross? What would you do to kind of suss out what they should get?
I guess first I would say what's your goal? Like mm-hmm. if you want to like show at a national level, you probably need to stick with the stock breed. Mm-hmm. But if your goal is to just have fun, go trail riding, do parades or do like just fun stuff mm-hmm. Or play day shows and stuff, I would say definitely like, and here's the other thing. They stay sounder because you're not, and again, a lot of this, you're not asking as much physically out of them as you are a show horse. Mm-hmm. But they, we knock on wood, have not had soundness issues.
I'm knocking on wood right now.
I know. I hate to even say that. We all know how that goes.
Well, the thing is, the giraffe, their hooves are like dinner plates. They're huge. And then you see little quarter horse feet. I know they're hooves, but like I call them feet for whatever reason. But you look at their little feet and it's just insane how much smaller they are. And they're just so problematic.
Yeah, I know. Because after we first purchased some of our first half drafts, just riding them out in the field and just riding them, I'm like, yeah, I can see why you're going to ride these into battle. They're big. They're strong. They're not really afraid of much. You can intimidate someone with these.
Oh, yeah, I know. And then you think about like a stock horse, my old show horse, Teddy. I think of him going into battle and I would be dead.
Yeah, they'd be running the other direction.
Oh, yeah. He would have dumped me and the enemy would have got me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. So, Melissa, what's a piece of advice you have for someone who is looking at getting a quarter horse cross?
I would say do your homework, like any horse you're potentially buying. Make sure, you know, it's suitable for what you want long term. Like if you want to be in fox hunting or jumping, like that horse should show athletic ability for that purpose. Or if you want a sporty horse, go that way. Just knowing like what you're looking at, and then I guess too, like trusting that the buyer is telling you the truth about their horse mm-hmm. and not every buyer or not every seller is obviously created equal. Mm-hmm. And we don't do like high numbers of these horses because we do want to spend, because number one, we enjoy them. And we like, if we could keep every half draft we've had, we would keep them. there has not been one that we were like, hey, can't wait till this thing leaves.
You want to keep them all.
Yeah. We'd love to keep them all, but yeah, just, yeah, finding them out of a program, mm-hmm. There are a lot of great sellers out there. So just following like their program and what they offer and doing your research and just, you know, spending time with the horse and knowing that it is a good fit.
Mm-hmm. That's some good advice. Well, our last question for you, we ask everybody that comes on the podcast, what is your favorite funny story of your favorite quarter horse cross? This could be in the show ring, at the barn, wherever.
Oh my gosh.
It's always the hardest question. Everybody gets stumped at this one.
I would say, can I say like my biggest regret is we went to the Salt Flats last year because we do a sale out there called the Fall Roundup. And I just love going out there, the mountains, the landscape. And anyways, the Salt Flats is phenomenal to ride at. It's like you're in a whole new world. But I had a buckskin Arrow is my horse that I had out there. I just brought him along just to have the experience. Mm-hmm. And I was riding him on the Salt Flats. I'm like, I think I could pull his bridle. I'm like, but I didn't. And we were doing pictures and stuff. And I really regret not pulling his bridle because he would have done it.
Oh my gosh. I'm so jealous. I've seen pictures of the Salt Flats, but I've never been. I can't imagine having your horses there.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. And there could be a whole like article on how to get horses there and how to, because it's like desert, there's not a ton of, the footing is not nice at all. Like there was other people out there riding horse and one of their horses fell.
Oh no.
And it's like if you get hurt, like help is not close.
Yeah.
and people don't, there's logistics into the Salt Flats that are interesting.
Well, if we ever do an episode on the Salt Flats, I will let you know.
Yeah. 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 I'm trying to think. Otherwise it would just be like my friend taking that horse and just showing it in the all breed class. And I wish I could have been there to see it, but yeah, it's just fun taking them to, and just letting people get to know them and see them. And cause if I didn't have my customers that had these, I wouldn't have really had this like gateway into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're doing so great work just bringing awareness to, you know, the crosses.
Well, and that's what I think too, is like just getting these horses to the shows and out and about, and like just like letting people, like, this is what they are. They're, you know, if this is something you think would work for you, like, don't cross these off your list. They're amazing. And just for like the soundness, the minds, the, you know, and a lot of them are athletic. That's what I want to point. Like, a lot of them are like performance horses too.
I need a cross now.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Melissa. Yeah, I really appreciate
anything
it.
Anything to promote them. Yes. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Quarter Horse Podcast on Horses in the Morning. Be sure to like, subscribe, and tell all your friends about the world's favorite breed of horse.